God is good.
God.
All the time.
God is good.
We are going through the book of
James.
Oh man, you fell short. James. And this morning we are in chapter 3, moving right along. And I hope that it's been a blessing to you, an encouragement, and also a challenge. It should be a challenge. The Word of God should challenge us, right?
Yeah.
I got one yes. It should challenge us, right?
Yeah.
Good.
Good job.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you, Lord, that you are real, that you love us, that you care about us. Lord, no matter who we are or what we're going through, we can call on your name. And sometimes we don't know how to pray. But the greatest prayer we can pray is, Lord, would you help me? And this morning I pray that you would help me and that, Lord, I would be a conduit of your word. And that, Lord, you would flow through me. That, Lord, we wouldn't just be here to be here, but, Lord, we would feel the presence of God. We would know, Lord, that we are no longer the same. We are being changed and renewed by your word and by your spirit every day. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would learn to cast aside the things of this world, the cares and concerns, anxieties and fears, and Lord, we would put our hope on you. And that, Lord, I pray for every person in the sound of my voice this morning that you would touch them, you would meet them right where they're at, and that, Lord, we would have a profound knowledge of your love and your grace in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 3, and as we have been going through James, we are learning how practical the Word of God is and how important it is that we look at Scripture like James definitely in a very practical way. We said last week that there's a difference between orthodoxy and orthopraxy. It's the practice of what we are learning and what we are doing is to be evident every day of our lives. Amen? And so we need to really take this to heart. And what's so incredible, in the very beginning of chapter 3, is James saying how crucial it is that the one who is teaching has a higher degree. Oh, I want to sit down. Has a higher degree than the listener. Let me begin by just reading. I've been reading the whole block of text that I'm going through, but I'm going to just chew on it a little bit. So let's begin with verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Do you mind taking over? Greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. And we'll obviously go into it more and more. It's interesting that the very beginning that James is writing this letter, he's telling those who are giving the instruction that you are going to be held at a higher degree. And it is very challenging because we're living in a day anymore where there are a lot of church leaders that are not living up to how they ought or we ought to anymore. That I might be standing here looking confidently to you, and I hope so, but inwardly, I'm shaking like a leaf because I realize that when you're up here, this is not a game. This is not anything that is just given a speech like any other, dry-hearted speech. These are the words of God that he is holding ministers and teachers of his word at a higher degree than even the listener. And I think what is so important in the very beginning of this is that we are seeing so many leaders, like I've said, in the church that are falling left and right, especially in the evangelical world, and we have definitely seen it in other denominations and so forth, where people are not living up to what the Bible says. And I want you to know firsthand that it is by no small feat that I say every day, Lord, would you help me to live a holy life? You know, we need holiness back into the church. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And we are living in more time as time goes on that things are going to be happening, that even as the Bible says, that even the elite will be taken away. This is serious stuff. And I think what is so crucial as we're going to unpack James writing about the tongue, how incredible he opens this verse up by saying that not everybody should teach. Everybody wants to be standing up here. Well, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people think that it's the quote glamour of it all. Let me tell you something, there's nothing glamorous about this at all. In fact, there are moments, yeah. In fact, there are moments that, it is very lonely to be a leader. It is very heart-crushing. There are things that people deal with you on a level that, other people can come and go. But what's so incredible that James begins by saying that really assess that when you're standing in front of other people, to know that it's serious, that God holds you at a stricter level, and that we as leaders in the church, and I'm talking to everybody now because we're all leaders. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a leader. Yep. If you have influence, you're a leader, right? That we need to live a holy life. So that is all just the thought, I think, of what James begins and the essence of it all. But as we have said, that he is very good at, I think he's one of the greatest teachers, really, because if you're a good teacher, you're repetitive, aren't you? Right? You repeat it. And it may not be the same thing you repeat, but the repetition is how we learn. And we find that he is a very good teacher. He wants people to get it. And my prayer today is that we all get it. We get what he's writing about today. So, what's he writing about today? Well, he's writing about the tongue. If you've heard this saying before, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. And what is so incredible as we are going to look at this whole thing about the tongue that James is unpacking here, first of all, he's wanting leaders to know that you're going to be held even at a stricter place, so be careful what you say, but also to the rest of those who are listening to what he is writing about, he's writing about the importance of this little anatomical piece in our mouth that can run wild. Now, I've never done this before, but I did a little research, Joanne, on the tongue. And you might think that it's one organ in your mouth, but unbelievable, there's actually at least 20 different parts of your tongue. So I'm going to look like I'm really smart this morning, so let me name a few. There's the median sulcus, the foliate papillae, the valate papillae, and the apex of the tongue, just to name a few. There's quite a few members of this one little thing in your mouth that God created for us to swallow, to articulate words, to taste, all these things. But James is not writing about the anatomy of our tongue. He's writing about what comes out of our mouth. And what even Fred alluded to already is that it is out of the abundance of our heart that our mouth is speaking. So it's not just what we are saying, but where it's coming from. So let's unpack this a little bit. When he says that, as he begins with leaders, and that We need to be careful that we'll be judged at a stricter place and so forth. And he says, if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. If he puts bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. He says, look at the ships, also in verse 4. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. How amazing it is that this little piece in our body can do a lot. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. James goes into incredible depths talking about this little thing that is not based on biology or anatomical things, but what is coming out and how powerful it is. And he illustrates it by, even though it's so small, just like, you know, a bit in a horse's mouth. If you ever seen those, you know, it's just a little, you know, iron bar that, or whatever it's made of, that is in the mouth of the horse, and they can make it go left or right just by turning the reins and so forth. Just that little thing in its mouth can direct a huge horse. He talks about the rudder, being as small as it is, can determine the direction of a boat, of whatever the pilot or the captain's desire is. And it's amazing how small this piece is, yet, and I'm being repetitive here, as you're finding out here, that it can direct and change the course of not only your life by what you say and things that you could say, but also people who are listening to you and the power of our tongue. I think what is so incredible is that we really need to watch what comes out of our mouth. Amen?
Amen.
And being very alert to that. As we found out, James being such a good teacher as he is, that he says this in chapter 1, that we should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. And now he gets into chapter 3 of unpacking this whole incredible thing about how important it is that even though it's so small in our whole being, yet it can bring life and it can bring death. I want to ask you this morning, just if you could overview your week, what have your words been like? That's a pretty incredible thought, isn't it? Maybe your thoughts, your words rather, were negative. That everything you saw around you was very critical and very negative. And then you realized that your day somehow became very negative and very critical. And yet, when you made a paradigm shift in your mind to just say, I'm going to speak words of life or positive words or encouraging words, then how has your day gone based on that? It's very incredible, isn't it? When we look at what we are saying and the power that our words actually have. Not only to people around us, we'll get into that in a minute, but really to ourselves. I'll be honest with you, there have been times in ministry, I've been in full-time ministry now for over 25 years. And I've pastored for many years, and I've done other things in ministry. And sometimes I will look at the overview of how that event went, or how my pastoral care went, or how this went, or that went. And I don't know about you, but everything can be going right, and one thing can go wrong. And where's your thoughts and where's your words? But on that one thing that went wrong when everything else went right. Do you hear me this morning? And I will confess to you, the Bible says to confess your sins one to another, so I'm doing that right now, that I have made the bad confession out loud that I am a failure. I've said that. And when I've said that, that has triggered an attitude that has triggered and conjured up all the things that I've done wrong, and that has triggered a projection, or a trajectory, better said, that wasn't going high, it was going low. And I'm learning, just to be vulnerable, that I need to speak into myself words of life. That, okay, maybe I could have done that better, but look at what God did. Look at how good this happened, or what life... Are you hearing me today?
Yes.
Being very... Good, thank you. Being very practical about the power of our words. Remember years ago, many years ago, that I have two older siblings, an older sister and an older brother, and I was not planned, and my father did everything he could to make sure that I wasn't planned, if you know what I mean, and it didn't work, and I was born. I'll let you fill in the lines after church. And one day, my sister... We were grown adults, and she was upset with me over something. I was living with her at the time, and she said, "You were an accident. You were never meant to be." And those words stuck with me for such a long time because my parents didn't plan for me. And they made sure not to have any other kids because of some other health issues that my sister had and so forth. And for her to say to me that I was not planned and that I was a mistake, and all these things just crashed down on me. I called my mom crying and this and that because I didn't really know the story. And then in the mail, she sent me a mug. I wish I still had it, but it says that God danced the day you were born. But those words that my sister spoke over me were very powerful. That maybe I was a mistake. We all do it, don't we? That we can either think something that is out of line, and then all of a sudden we begin to speak those things. And we need to be careful as parents that we do not speak negative things over our children's lives, but positive and encouraging things. For example, my dad always told me that no matter what you think about that or what you want to do, you can do it. He always told me that. And I have this grounding that no matter what I want to do in life, I could do it. Versus Abelsa, that her father left the family when she was young, and she was raised by her mom, and her mom was going through a lot, raising three kids alone, and her mother always told her, "You're not going to matter much, that you're dumb." And to this day, she has to fight those words that were spoken over to her as a child. And so we have two different groundings. One is that I've done some crazy things in our life. I was thinking yesterday, with our church plan in the Bronx, we, because of COVID, we had no place to go. And so we were given access. You're going to think I'm crazy. Maybe you do already. But we were given access to an abandoned crack house. And what we did, my wife and I, just her and I, we went in the backyard. We pulled up all these weeds and needles and other junk, cleaned it all up. We had floor put in. We painted everything, and it became the most beautiful place to have outdoor church during COVID. Now, just a few people came and so forth, and I thought, man, I must have failed at everything. But I looked back at that and thought, man, how incredible it is that God gave me an idea, and we got it done. But my grounding, if you're following me, is my dad, as a five-year-old kid, saying, "You could do it. You can do it." And if you just understand what I'm saying and using all these things, that there is power in our tongue. There's power in the words that we speak. If you ever heard this, growing up as a kid, it was, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," is the biggest lie there ever was. I would rather a stick or a stone than the words that have been spoken to me sometimes. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." And we could speak words that are either over ourselves or over other people, and we need to be very careful of why we're saying what we're saying or to whom we're saying it to, or all the things that come into why we're speaking the way we're speaking. And James is talking about this in such a powerful way that as little as this piece in our body is, yet it can either bring life or death into people's lives, into environments, into ourselves. And that is not how we're created to be, of speaking negative things, things that will manipulate or control other people, or all the things that we know words have been used since the beginning of time that have been used to control and to hurt and to offend and all these things. I love how it says in Proverbs 12:18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We've said that James is just like the New Testament Proverbs, and how incredible it is that James is unpacking something so practical as how we speak. And then when you look up other verses in the Bible, and Proverbs especially, and we have a few more to go through, how incredible it is that we really need to watch our words and watch what we're saying to ourselves and to people around us. It's a seemingly small, insignificant thing that can direct and control and manipulate and hurt and damage, or also to encourage and bless and nurture and heal. I wonder why James is taking such effort in talking about our tongue and our words. But the reality is that we know just by living life how incredible it is that words are very powerful. You may say sometimes, well, I wasn't even thinking when I said that. Maybe you've used that way to apologize to somebody. I wasn't thinking. I didn't mean to say that. But the truth of the matter is that we really need to put thought about why we're saying what we're saying when we say it. That maybe we have lashed out in times that we were so angry that maybe we need to just walk away and get a breath of fresh air before we say something. Maybe we need to have a more critical thinking behind what we're saying and to investigate and research. Maybe we have fallen prey to only listening to one side of the story and not being investigative enough of hearing the other side and getting the whole picture before we have come out and lashed out in a way that was really uneducated. The things that we really need to ask ourselves, you know, when I've said something over myself or over my spouse or over my kids or in the workplace, was I really using my mind and my heart in what I said? And how powerful it is that we need to really look at what James is saying here and saying, oh God, would you help me? James 3:6 says, the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. I mean, he was not mincing words. There is such a direct line between how important it is that what we speak can actually stain the whole body and setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell. I mean, what? But he's really, you know, pushing the point across about how important it is that we understand the power of our tongue and what we say. Can't get more descriptive about little pieces of either the rudder or a bridle, or even says that in verse 5, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. It's just the little things, isn't it? It may not be this great speech that you might give or a great oracle you might give. It might be one little thing that you might say that can ruin a relationship or bring tension to the atmosphere or one thing that just seems insignificant but can set ablaze the whole situation. And then James talks about the impossibility of taming our tongue. It doesn't sound very good, does it? But he's again driving the importance of how we need to understand that if we don't control this thing, man, it can do a lot of damage. But he says in verses 7 and 8, "For every kind of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind," he says, "but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison." He's not giving too much optimism in our tongues and what we say. But again, putting the value and the weight of how important it is that we need to tame this tongue and tame what comes out of it and be very careful of what we say. 1 Peter 3:10 says, "Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." Ever been lied to? Thank you. We'll participate. We've all been lied to, right? And I will keep this rhetorical. How many have lied? Thank you for that honesty there. We've done it and we've heard it. But Peter and James, they're just saying how important it is that we be very careful of what we're saying. Jesus said that it's let your yes be yes and your no be no. One of the greatest, that wasn't in my notes, but just thinking of it now, I alluded to him last week when we were talking about the Faith Hall of Fame, but there's this guy named Jephthah. Have you ever heard of him? I think he's in Kings. And he gives this incredible thing. His story is unbelievable. But they choose him to be the general in the army and to go fight. And he gets the victory. But he says, "God, if you're going to give me the victory when I come home," he says, "whatever first comes out of my house, I'll give it to you." If you remember this story. And sure enough, he wins the battle. He gets home. And who comes out of his front door? Not a donkey or a goat or a sheep. His daughter is the first one to come out of the house and congratulates her dad and says, "Good job, you won." And Jephthah knew, man, I promised to God that whatever first came out, I would give them to the Lord. He kept his word. And how important it is that we even need to keep our word with God, right? Words are so valuable. And yet James is saying that it's almost impossible to tame our tongue. Psalm 141 verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Let me tell you something. We need the Holy Spirit to just put our hand over our mouth so we don't always say what we want to say. We need God's help in this, right? Because we're dealing with so many things on the inside of us. Our emotions, our background, our culture, or things that we're going through. And it's like a steam valve that has to be released sometimes. But Lord, would you just help me to really know the power of my tongue and to realize that there is life and death in my tongue. And I need to speak words that edify and build up and encourage. And when that thing wants to just burst, that I need to do some things to control that from happening. James 1:19, as I said before, "Let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to be angry." If this is not the practicality of our faith and what we're saying to other people, it's important. It's valuable. It's giving us clarity in our lives of how we need to guard our mouths and govern what we say. And know that there is life and death in our tongues, and to speak words that build one another up. I love in almost every admonishment from Paul that he talks about in these churches that he raised up and he planted and so forth. He admonishes them to come together with encouragement or a song where somebody should come in speaking about the Lord. You know, so many times we speak nothing but the politics of the world or crime rates or this or that or all the negative things, if we would just come together and say, look what the Lord has done for me this week. How amazing it would be if we would just lift up one another and just testimony that God kept me this week. I should have been, could have been, but God. This happened, but the Lord intervened. If we would just talk about all God's goodness in our life and leave all the things to the side, because we already know what's going on, don't we? But if we would just gather together and talk about the good things of God, it would also change the path and so forth. I'm sorry, I'm getting a few distractions, so I'm trying to move along. One other thing in this block of verses that is so powerful is that James tells us that two things cannot be produced from one. So let me read this. He says that in verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Listen to this. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. What an incredible, convicting word that is to all of us, because we all do it, don't we? That we say God is so good, and then somebody cuts us off on the FDR and we're ready to... But what a challenge it is for us. That instead of cursing somebody, you know, maybe not in the vernacular, but if we would just get to a point, can you imagine that somebody cuts us off and we say, God bless them. You know? Or somebody does them wrong, we just say a quick prayer, God, would you just pour out your mercy upon them? They must be having a bad day. What an incredible admonishment we're getting today in the Word of God, that if we would just understand that God created us to be conduits and vessels of Him, and that we can't be pouring out praise to God and sing our doxology here, praise God from whom all, and then we go out of here and we're like ready to blast people. What an amazing thing that God is trying to tell us. Look, if we're following Him, it comes to the nitty-gritty of how we're talking day in and day out. Are we creating environments that are uplifting and encouraging? I love what, as I've said before, that my favorite author is John Piper, and he has talked many times about, and maybe this might be a good thing when we do a married retreat or something. But for many years, him and his wife have gone together somewhere, and they've gone through 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the love chapter. And they've actually gone through, you know, love is patient, love is kind, all those things. And they've assessed one another in what love looks like. Have I been patient? Have I been kind? Have I been not easily provoked? And he talks about how incredible the Word of God is part of their marriage and their annual ritual of going through how they speak to one another. Is it words that fulfill this commission as a married couple to edify and to build up and to love one another? I mean, we all argue, but are we also on the other side saying to one another, I love you, you can do it, I believe in you, are you hearing me today? There's power in our tongue, but there's also the understanding that we've got to be careful that we can't praise God on Sunday mornings and then on Monday with a coworker speak a different way. Let that really, you know, get in us this morning, because, man, we'll be tested in this week. I guarantee it. So he's saying how important it is that out of one thing, we don't produce two different things or many other things, but that we really are convicted by the Word of God. We say, Lord, would you help me to speak words that glorify you? Would you help me to know that there are power in my words and that I can be the one who can build up and to edify and in doing that can glorify you? We bless God all the time, but with other people we can be so angry at times and speak harshly and offend and all these things. And yet the nitty-gritty of this chapter, first part of this chapter, is to say, are we really watching what we say? I love how the Word of God admonishes us all the time and tells us, you know, you're kind of living in a place that you need to kind of be bumped back over here, and let me show you there's a better way of living. There's a way that will kind of be proof to the pudding of why are we in this faith relationship with God. That God is actually testing us to see how will we deal with situations with our words. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. I don't know about you, but I feel convicted by this alone. That I need to really ask the Lord, God, would you help me every day to speak words that bring life, that edify, that admonish? And do you know that you can correct in an admonishing way? Did you know that? Hello? That you can rebuke someone in a very nice way without being fake? That it's how we do things, how we construct things. And as New Yorkers, we want to just jab at people and give them a piece of our mind. But when it comes to Scripture, he's saying, if we really want to follow Jesus, let it be in a way that our words produce life to those around us. Amen? If our worship team could come, I really hope that this few distractions this morning, but I really hope that words like this would get deep into our heart and into our practice of being a follower of Jesus every day. You know, I'm convinced more and more the older that I get that my walk with God is not just a thing that I do on Sunday morning, but that the Lord is watching to see how I deal and interact with people around me every day. And how I even speak over myself. And maybe to take some moment, you know, and just reflect, first of all, what have I been speaking over my own life? And that maybe in what I've been saying this morning, we need to say, God, would you help me that I deflect from speaking such negative things over myself? And speak words of life over myself. Would you give me a little background music, Dave, if you don't mind? I like doing that sometimes. And if we could just also say, God, in my words this week, would you help me to be a tree of life that no matter where I go, even if there's pressure and something needs to be confronted about, God, would you give me the words that would bring edification through correction? Lord, would you help me to understand that there is power in my words? And maybe some of us have been a victim, if you will, by the words spoken over us, maybe when we were little. Maybe we were told that if you don't do this and this and this, you won't amount to anything. But the truth of the matter is that God has a plan for each and every one of us. It is a plan greater than no person could say or do or try to fit us into some mold. And that the words that have been spoken over us, maybe some of them needs to be just water off a duck's back. And to say, God, I want to hear from you today. So, in a little bit of reflection time before we sing a couple songs, just think about our words. Think about how powerful words are and whether we've received them in a negative way or we have given them in a wrong way. And maybe, just maybe, whether it's here or somebody watching online as we're online, that maybe there's somebody in your close circle that you need to say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that my words did not produce life this week. I said something that put you down or offended you, or maybe we just need to come together and ask for some forgiveness over the words that we have spoken. But I really pray that this practical, nuts and bolts word from James has really been constructive for us today. Amen.